Hi, I'm Jessica St. Clair.
And I'm June Diane Raphael.
And this is
The Deep Dive.
We're about to do what women have done for centuries. We're crowding around the fire with our generous haunches. We got babies hanging off our tits, and we're going to share with you our fears.
That's right. Our joys.
Our tips on how to stay alive.
Now, Jess, we are heeding a call that no one has made.
Not a soul, but you're invited to listen.
Absolutely, because we make one promise and one promise only. We will not Google a thing.
Because frankly, we're too damn tired.
Please get ready to go on
The Deep Dive.
Hi, Jessica.
June.
How do you do? You look like a fresh idea.
June, You mocked me last time, but I'm going to say what I meant to say, which is I got a makeup lesson, right, from my makeup artist, Alexis Walker, so I could do my own makeup on the Today Show, which I'm still doing, even though I lied to you and said I had booked hair and makeup.
God, I can't follow along. Okay.
I have a DP, a director of photography, right now downstairs, setting up lights. Okay. I got him on the phone with Paul. Paul talked him through the fact that I believe he said, and I quote, it's not like Jessica's going out and making guerrilla films on the street. She's not able to handle anything more than pressing on.
So, okay, couple things up top. Let's just get all the admin stuff out of the way. let's get our administrative work out of the way.
Sure.
So, Deep Divers, last week we told you, we're going to go on the Today Show. It would have probably already aired. That was wrong. Okay. So it hadn't.
It hadn't aired. Okay. It's going to air on Friday the 25th.
Yes. So episode will be released when it's already aired. So you see the fruits of all of this labor. And not just Jessica's labor. Like, it sounds like you have on the payroll and on the team, you have Paul Scheer, you have Alexis, you have me.
I've got this man named Mikey downstairs.
God bless him. So Paul did talk to me. I don't remember how it came up, but he said, we were talking to Jason yesterday on How Did This Get Made?
Oh.
I know. And it was discussed on How Did This Get Made. And I said, Jason was shocked. Well, Jessica,
June,
Jason was
you know
shocked.
When you serve it up to Jason, he's going to come in negative.
Yes.
He needs to dim my bright light.
And that's impossible to do. Like, you're such a bright light.
And he'll keep trying.
But he'll keep trying. And that says, you're right, more about him than you. But Paul did say that, this Mikey downstairs, this DP, was
overestimating my talent and my
expertise. Yes, and basically trying to get you into, like, a $4,000 camera.
That's right.
And Paul, in case, in Mikey's words, you wanted to shoot a short film.
Yeah.
And Paul said, Jessica is not shooting a short film.
Ever.
We're struggling to get her on Zoom.
What if this was on my bucket list, right? What if being a filmmaker, you know, shooting the next Hurt Locker was on my bucket list? Paul just basically level set and said that there are some dreams that aren't possible.
That you shouldn't reach for. Not all dreams can come true. And you know what? I didn't push back publicly, and I wish I had, because the truth of the matter is, Jessica, you have produced and run not one, but multiple television series. Okay?
That's true.
So people can laugh all they want and really enjoy the hell out of this situation. But guess what? When push comes to shove, okay, Jessica St. Clair is a titan in our industry. And if she wanted to shoot a short film, she would be able to
hire people who
to
can
do that.
Yes. That's right. And, you know, I feel like, again, you know, it's like what you said last week. Even though you can't unpack your suitcase, which I wanted to check in, is it unpacked?
Still not unpacked.
Oh, God. I was really hoping you were taking some of my words of wisdom about the energy suck and doing it right after we get
out. Now, I will tell you, when you said, because you did text me this morning and said, I'm going to be 15 minutes late because DP Mikey has when he came over, he left with the sound equipment.
He had taken my
sound
equipment.
There were a lot of proclamations last week about, I got a lot of texts afterwards saying, this is it. I make a vow. I say today, like it ends here today. From here on out, I have my tech stuff together. And then I got, you know, I got that text this morning saying we were going to be 15 minutes behind. But I was actually like, let me use this time because I want to go on and report that I've unpacked this suitcase.
And what did you do instead?
Well, I went into something that's been, I have a difficult relationship with toys in the home. I feel like we just collect them. And I have started to just sort of demand that the boys donate, like, you know, a good amount of toys that they do not use.
It's a great idea.
Yes. And
when a toy comes in, I heard when a toy comes in, another toy gets given away.
That is
a great, I've not done it. And we have Beanie Boos piling up and piling up.
Yes.
Like, and if I die, it will be death by Beanie Boo. No joke.
I mean, I don't know what a Beanie Boo is, but it sounds, it sounds oppressive.
Yeah, so, it is.
And not for me, it's Legos. Like I'm
hate Legos. You can step
Yeah, I'm always with Legos, and I don't know how to store them. You know, they're everywhere. So I took that time, and I was like, I'm gonna start getting this donation bag ready and sort of rearranging where some of these toys are. And you were now, earlier than expected, so I was going. My next step was to get to that suitcase, but
But what I wanted to say, first of all, I do think you're probably going to have somebody's going to have a nervous breakdown about like not this toy that they haven't touched in like years. So I do it at night. I just like I'm a Grinch. I go around. I take toys,
so people don't even know they're gone.
Nope, because things are in such a disarray here.
Yeah.
Just take them away. Although I do think it's extremely important that kids learn to give back.
I will say just a quick plug, because I was actually thinking about this book, this newsletter and podcast, because it is called Chop Wood, Carry Water. It's a newsletter that my friend Jessica Craven, who's our activist in residence at the Jane Club, organizes all of our phone banks, all of our activist work. She writes a newsletter and she has a podcast, and it's relevant to this conversation of like, what can we do? Because she provides tons of bite-sized kind of things you can do every single day to really push for sweeping change, you know? And I just want to plug that real quick. If anybody's listening and wondering, like, how do I get involved? I want to figure out what I can do in the time that I have with the capacity of my life. I think it's a great way to get in and get started.
Yeah. Thank you for the reminder that I got to do something. And that's a good one. In fact, we're going to do that toy thing, and I'll suffer the wrath because I do think it's important. They know they're giving it away.
I do think so. Yep. It's like, it's like on those hoarding shows, they do want the people to be involved.
Yeah. It's a keep. What is it? Trash, keep, you know, give, donate. Right.
Yeah.
And they don't like it.
Look at the things and like say goodbye to them.
Yep.
God,
what happened?
Paul just ran into the closet. Ran in. Can I help
it's
you,
only
sir?
My office.
Paul, I was saying something nice about you, so I'm not going to yell "fuck you."
Oh, you look great.
She was saying something nice about you, so she's not going to yell "fuck you."
Oh, thank you.
Why did you run in here?
I actually am pissed off that you're interrupting us.
Oh my God, Jessica.
You know,
I don't know when these things are happening.
Look on our shared cow.
Well, why is there a bag in there?
My office.
Clean your shit out.
Yeah.
Pack it in, pack it out.
Are you in Dan's office right now?
I am, and he's so pissed about it. He just wrote me a very long email about my emergency is not his problem. Like, he's a secretary from the 1970s.
She said she is in his office, and he's actually very pissed about it and wrote her an email saying, your emergency is not my problem. Like, he's a secretary in the 1950s.
He's really pissed.
The way he ran in here was so, I can't even explain.
It was alarming.
It was alarming. And I'm like settling down. Oh, he's still talking. What?
I hooked all my stuff again.
I took off your computer.
He like does this on purpose. I told you, it's all about attention for him.
Cody just wrote in the chat that he does it. He's doing this on purpose now.
He's trying
like,
to, it's not like he's on
cow.
Enough.
Media,
and now I don't,
you know?
I want to make sure he's not poking around.
Wait, hold on.
God, you have multiple podcasts. Go
Paul,
be on them.
I just,
get out.
I can't because you're in the place where I record them.
Go get on Twitch.
Screen Test is on Stitcher Premium, and we have themed episodes all this summer.
Oh my God, don't you just throw
get out
plug. He's trying to plug his
one
shit.
Zone.
All the right stuff are up on.
He's trying to plug his shit.
A Room God. Of One Zone. Who's that, Virginia Woolf? She walked into the water and just let the waves cover her for a reason. This
oh
is
my
why.
God. Jessica,
I'm not ignore it like a child. Ignore it.
No, but I
if
want to
give
share
it attention,
something with you, and I
want
to talk to you about something
on.
That occurred to me. And he's, oh my God,
I can't just
I cannot be myself with you lurking around.
That's right. I can't be my authentic self
with
if
you
I
there.
Know my husband is listening.
Okay. Jessica.
Okay, I can't
be me with you there.
Nick Kroll, by the way, when we did our first, Lennon and I wrote our first pilot about girls, friends interacting. He, when we asked for notes, he said, is this how girls actually act by themselves? And he was like, I felt like Jane Goodall watching the gorillas. You know, I truly feel like I'm shocked. And he grew up with sisters.
I know. But, you know, there's something to me, too, about, and I love all the men listening. And I you know, I just love that they're here because there is something so kind of private about women's interactions. I mean, I know I talked about this before, but I would stare out my bedroom window and my mom was always driving someone home from like an Overeaters Anonymous meeting, always.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
you know what I mean? And we were constantly taking in stray cats from various stray cats of like women who she met in different anonymous groups. Mm-hmm. And I would always watch them either drop her off or her, you know, start to take them home. And they would sit outside our house in the car.
Yeah, and talk.
And I would peer out my window and I would just watch them. And it was just, I was like, wow, what's going on in that car? What are they talking about? You know what I mean? And now, as an adult woman, I understand what the intimacy of those conversations.
Oh, yeah.
The, like,
unveiling of your secrets and your truths and your vulnerability.
And how they were surviving the world together. You know, how restorative those conversations were. I think there's such a disconnect between like what the culture thinks women are doing behind closed doors.
Oh,
and
God,
and actually the depth of what's going on.
Well, that's what's been amazing about writers. Now it's kind of not a big deal that women are writing their stories and we're seeing friendships being portrayed in it as they really are by female showrunners, writers, you know, producers, directors. As you know, I will never be a filmmaker of these types of things, but maybe I will just to spite Paul.
That the DP said, what if she's doing shorts? Like he wasn't ready to say, what if she's wants to do her feature film?
Well, he do something
or even like a pilot presentation. Like he put you at shorts, like an 8 minute.
I want to see myself the way Mikey sees me. You know,
let's live into Mikey's version.
100%. Listen. So
anyway, you're unlimited to Mikey, and he's like, I want to prepare Jessica for all of the possibilities.
He really does, and he said this will be great for vacation shots if you want to do portraits.
Wow.
I was like, maybe I will get into taking headshots. You know,
who knows?
Who knows? But, like, Mikey. He believes in me. He's on Red Bull downstairs. He's on his second Red Bull.
So he's just down there waiting for you to.
I'm not sure what he's doing down there. I said, noodle around and I'll get down there when I can.
Okay. No, Jessica, here's one thing. I jotted this down this morning. I thought, I want to talk to Jessica about this.
Yeah.
Because this is one of those things where it's like, I'm always curious what other people's experiences are here. Do you, if you're alone in the house at night, get scared?
Oh. I treat it like panic room, like Jodie Foster's panic room.
The entire
house. Oh, well, first of all, I feel like there's all sorts of vulnerable areas in which I could be infiltrated. And so I lock every door. I have to check it 1,000 times.
You too.
Sometimes I want to lock BB in the bedroom with me. Like, I don't even like her being down the hall, because if I could, I would have 17 locked doors between me and the outside world. And my father said very early on, I was like terrified someone would ring the doorbell and like have an axe. Like, I just was convinced. And he's like, really? And then he'd be like, but you'd have to get past me to get upstairs, you know? And I'd be like, they would know that and they would find a way around it. And I was afraid Jabba the Hutt would slide up the side of the house. And he was like, that's a gigantic fake slug, man. He can't, he's a puppet. Like, he showed me behind the scenes footage and I'm like, nope.
No matter.
I was worried that a vampire bat would get loose, get into my room and suck my blood while I was sleeping. And what BB actually does to me sometimes, as I fall asleep next to her, which I shouldn't do, but whatever. I'm too tired. She will wait until I fall asleep and then put three fingers, like their claws, onto my shoulder and go, vampire bat, like that. Oh. And it's really terrifying. She thinks it's funny, but she's also fine. Immediately, it was like seven, she's suddenly worried. She doesn't want me downstairs. Huh. I think it must be a part of development where you're like, oh, okay.
You realize loss is possible. And so.
Yeah, or someone could get you. You know what I mean? She wants a floodlight in her room while she falls asleep. Like, but it wasn't that way until I thought she was going to avoid it, you know? So what about you? Are you also worried?
Yes, I'm always scared.
And
yes. So Paula's about to take a short trip and I'm like,
you'll never sleep.
Well, it's like I will put alarms on and get situated to the best of my ability. I will say, actually, having a dog helps.
Although,
what can be expected of Meatball?
Let's get real.
I know.
Meatball would be happy to see them. Like, honestly, he'd be like, oh, hey, friend. So my little old schnauzer is deaf and blind to the point where Mikey was here for 2 hours before she even realized it. It's always a surprise to her when you come into the room.
I know. And that's the thing. Like, I would love to say, because Meatball one time, I mean, we've only heard him bark two times. And every time it happens, I'm like, what's that sound? Like, who's got like a vacuum? It's a low. It's so guttural that it's like, it's really actually quite hard to identify. But one time he did bark when there were some men outside looking through our garbage cans on the street. And I was like, oh, good. Like, great.
A little bit of life in him.
A little bit of life left after all. But there have been many times where I've come home from shooting like super late, like 2 a.m. Mm-hmm. when I was working on Black Monday. And I ran up the stairs once to just see, like ran up the basement stairs. Like, is it nothing? I mean, didn't move, Jessica.
Yeah.
Snoring out like a light.
He was in REM. He was in deep REM sleep.
But I feel a little better because he is a bulldog. So I would hope that certain instincts. Oh, I got to tell you, this is actually quite upsetting. What? So Meatball, the other day, Paul went down. We have a gym area in the basement. And Paul went down to work out. And close the door. And I'm sitting in our family room and Meatball started crying.
Oh my God.
I mean, crying.
He's obsessed with Paul. He's obsessed with Paul,
but like it was, I mean, he's obsessed with both. He follows both of us around.
Right, right.
It was unusual. And then Paul told me, he goes very quite casually, he goes, I'm pretty sure that Meatball saw his owner die of a heart attack.
Why does he think this? Why does Paul think this? Was it on the rescue? I know where you guys rescued him. There ain't nothing but him.
There's no information. He was found walking on the streets. So I go, what are you saying right now?
Literally.
What are you saying? That's the darkest shit
I've ever heard.
I know. It actually will make me cry. So he said that one day, again, failed to mention this, like the most important piece of information we have about Meatball. He said one day he was downstairs in the gym and Paul was like doing like sit-ups and then just started like laid back with his hand over his heart. Oh. And Meatball freaked.
Oh, oh my God. This would make perfect sense, though, because he's so loving. He clearly came from a loving home.
But he's also codependent. Yeah. I mean, I guess all dogs are. That's a sweeping generalization.
No, but some are more than
but
others.
But he's very anxious.
He wants to know where you are. He wants
when
to be
I
with
say
you.
He follows me from room to room, Jessica, I mean room to room. I'm shocked he's not that. In here right now. Yeah. It's so sweet. But sometimes I'm just like, relax. We're here. We're here. Yeah. You know, we're not going anywhere. So Paul's like, oh, yeah, he definitely was in the house in his old home with a dead person.
That is so.
And he said he thought his owner died in front of him. I was like, this is a quite a tale.
Yeah. That's like when I saw this guy comes to the park. He has a parrot and, you know, he loves like to be asked about it. But if I see wildlife, I got to get involved in it and I got to touch it. As you know, I do
but
enjoy
don't you feel though, like when limits. You have when a guy is walking around with a parrot, it's like I don't want to give him that.
I know
I don't want to give him that.
But maybe
it's
that's
like, dude,
all
I
he
see
has.
You.
Well, he also lives point. In a house that's covered in mosaics. It's completely covered in mosaics. I then found out. So that's two crazy things.
And all of those, but those things line up,
right? So I take BB. I go look at that parrot. We got to get our hands on it. And she's like, okay, she's used to that, you know? So we get over, I go, this guy's got a story. So he had, it was like the Pied Piper. Kids were just crowded around him. And I start asking questions as I do. Now, how long do they live? Oh, that's interesting. Is he bonded to you, this parrot? It's a macaw.
Yeah.
He goes, oh yes, very bonded. And then he says, well, they live till about, you know, at least 100 years old. And I, boy, isn't that interesting, kids? And he says, oh yes. And they're so bonded to their owners that they've found a lot of macaws just like lying on top of their dead.
Oh my God, Jessica. Oh my God.
Like dead from a heart attack themselves from the shock of he says this in front of all of these kids. And I was like, okay, I think parrot time's over. Bye. Like, we had to like usher it on. BB's like, what do you mean lying? You know, lying on them, you know? And this is why Dan's like, don't talk to strangers.
Yeah.
But that's a little bit of information, a little nugget that you guys probably didn't know that they outlive their owners that. And it causes them to have deep depression and sometimes causes an early death for the parrot. So, you know, think about that before you buy your parrot.
You want to really be buying a
you
parrot.
You want to buy your parrot at birth. You want to like,
yes.
Get born, have a parrot. And then maybe you guys will end things at the same time.
I mean, what an amazing present for like a baby shower. Like now we know, you know, these are the hot tips you're going to get. Like other people are buying off the registry. Like you show up to that shower or sprinkle with a baby parrot. It's like how people used to buy like bombs. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Oh, I have a couple.
I have a couple
cash
too.
Them in.
I actually don't know what they are. Do you have a like what?
Come
what
on,
are they?
June. Come on. I don't know. I don't know, man.
Well, you
I have
just
to ask my dad.
Cash them in. Like, what do we do with them?
I don't
them?
Know what they are. I have to ask my dad. I still ask my dad.
That's the thing about dads. They do have certain information. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
They have certain information.
Oh, that... I wanted to follow up on Hunan Garwood that had burned.
Okay.
A couple okay. people, a couple people wrote, my dad said, hun, why are you going to tell that story?
Oh my God.
You know what I mean? But basically, a couple people reached out from the area, and one said, do you know that it was reported that my family was the last person to receive a delivery from Hunan Garwood the night it burned down?
Wow.
And that was a real claim to fame for them.
Wow. Oh, this is the other thing I want to talk to you about, Jessica, is, you know, again, for all of the new listeners, what is this podcast about? We really couldn't tell you. I did have Brooklyn Decker over last night because we're about to start finishing our last season of Grace and Frankie.
So
and she
lucky.
Came over. She came. She's back in L.A.
Because when and, she comes here, she's alone, right? She doesn't. Her family stays home and then she goes back and forth, right?
Yes, although I think that will be different because of the sort of protocols and travel protocols. So that might be different now. But I do get to see a lot of her and have, you know, some fun alone time. But she was talking about the podcast and said, well, she loves it so much and said so such nice things about it. And then said, and I quote, you know, it's so funny because it's not like educational.
Because we say it's going to be in the beginning of it. We say we're going to share with you tips on how to stay alive.
I do think we've shared that.
Sure. But not a lot of links and not a lot of like facts.
Not a lot of resources. You know? Not a lot of facts and figures. Yeah. Well, nothing to be done about that, though. So I was telling her, you know, we're going to be on the Today Show. And I really want to drill down, Jessica, on why you're not getting hair and makeup done.
I know.
You said you weren't going to. You said you were taking the time to actually do a lesson to do it yourself. Yeah. And now we've got lighting. It feels like we're investing so many hours and time and money into doing it yourself. And I'm like, can we kind of reallocate and just pay for two people to come over to do your hair
really
and makeup?
It's not the money so much as it is like Alexis showed me. I had this whole plan. I also think that I think I'm really good at hair and makeup.
Oh my god!
And what I was gonna do. Now I know I don't really brush my hair much, nor do I put on makeup, but I think if I had the right training, I can really go there. I'm very interested in hair styling.
Your hair always looks great.
Well, it doesn't actually, because I do need professionals to get in there. But I was going to tell you that I was going to get hair and makeup. This is something I would do to Lennon. Tell her and then not do it and then go, aren't you glad I got hair and makeup? And you go, I am glad, you looked great. And then I would say, I didn't get it.
That's great.
This is so insane.
Right? Right?
Okay.
I was going to try to get you.
And so this is more just like you want the satisfaction of doing it yourself. Like you actually enjoy that.
Well, I read that Beyonce does her own makeup before shows. She finds that the process of putting on the makeup turns her into Sasha Fierce.
Listen, I'm not.
If it helps your
process,
it's now
too late.
It's now too late.
It is not too late. I could literally book you someone while we're doing this podcast.
Okay,
I can have someone
about it.
No, I mean, but this is like what I want to drill down on because maybe I'm not understanding. If you're saying it's a part of your process and you
it's not,
need,
I feel badly asking makeup artists to show up at 4 a.m.
Let's be honest about what it is. Okay, it's not about you turning into Sasha Fierce.
Okay. Maybe it will be, though.
Maybe when I have this
you just don't want to put someone out
even though there's an there's a transaction. It's you're not doing charity work.
I know it. So you're right. I'm going to do. Listen, it's taken me a while to get the DP. Mikey's down there now. He's waiting. Okay. While we talk about almost nothing, he's waiting for me. Okay. I don't know. Here's the deal. I'm not going to tell you whether or not I'm booking.
By the way, I wouldn't mind having Mikey on if he's willing to come in for a quick, 5-minute segment. Okay. And just sit next to you. Because I have a couple questions for him.
Listen, I'm trying to create a new self here. And that self is that I'm in control. And I'm going to tell you whether or not. Oh, another person who does her own makeup, Diane Kruger. Now, She's a stunning woman with contracts, with modeling and beauty contracts, but she does her own makeup as well. So these are people who are doing it. They're learning the tools. Why not learn the tools? And then, you know, I can, again, fend for myself in the world, you know?
Yes, and you can. And if that's the case, Jessica, I'm so on board with that. What I don't want and where I feel like I need to push back is just on what I think the truth of the matter is, which is you don't want someone there at 4 a.m.
Or I don't feel like I deserve it.
Yes. If you want to learn how to the artistry, okay, the craftsmanship of makeup, I'm all for that. Now, listen, can you go downstairs and bring Mikey on for a couple minutes?
I don't want to do that to Mikey. I'm not going to push him. I'm not going to spring this on him.
He's busy hanging diffusion lights.
Okay.
Please, Jessica,
do it.
Just think,
no,
can we just
he's
check
already,
in?
Paul has already set the table, as you like to say, about what Mikey's dealing with. And I am trying to like act like a normal person. Okay. But I would like to say this. Oh, I forgot to tell you about
just
my Saturday.
Just record a voice memo.
I will not.
Okay.
Saturday, I know you and I were like ships passing in the night at the seaside.
I saw pictures of you.
I had, you know, we're talking about Shock Girl Summer and how excited we are to be out and about.
Yeah.
And so I had not sat down at a restaurant at all until, no, I'm sorry, once I sat outside. But Casey came with her family to the beach for the weekend. Love it. There's a woman who doesn't feel bad about booking hair and makeup at 4 a.m. That's for goddamn sure.
I'll tell you what.
But she was down at the beach and she said, come meet us at the beach. And I said, okay. And then she texted me at like 11:15. I was supposed to meet them at noon. She goes, hold, please. I'm trying to finagle a lunch with just the two of us. Well, wow, did I get excited. And I put on a striped Mariner's top.
You looked great.
I know. Because I knew there'd be photos. And I showed up and, you know, the regular place we were going to eat inside was not available. And we're like, what is this? She goes, there's a patio downstairs. Well, wow. The Casa Del Mar had a patio that they, and I love how restaurants have pivoted during the pandemic. All businesses. I'm obsessed with how they did it. Obsessed. And they turned this patio that was nothing into an outdoor restaurant. Okay, that looks out on the ocean. And Casey and I sat and we had a Cobb salad that'll knock your socks off. I mean, this was the best Cobb I've ever had.
And a glass of
Whispering Angel, which Casey said, you know, I'm in a feud with these people and please don't tell anybody that I'm drinking it. And then I conned her into a photo where we were actually feeding each other the wine like a couple would.
Yeah.
So that I could hold it back and then use it as ammunition, which I will do on Bitch Sesh this week. But boy, we got to just talk for like an hour and 15 minutes. And then the man came and he said, would you like to look at the dessert menu? And Casey said, oh, absolutely. And I said, yes, we'd like to hear what you have.
Yeah.
And she took me through the options. And the last one was a cheesecake. And I said, I'd like to have that. Now, the look on the man's face was like, we haven't had a woman order a slice of cheesecake
at this hour.
Maybe 50 years. Like, it was like an event. They were like, get the cheesecake out. Like, someone's ordered it. And it arrived with a berry coulis, I think it's called, draped.
I can just see it.
Boy, oh boy. Well, that was the moment when David, her husband, arrives with the children. And he looks at this cheesecake and then he looks at us. He's like, what the fuck are you guys? Who do you think you are? Like the bold audacity.
Yeah, I love it.
Of eating this cheesecake.
Like, and without a care in the world.
And so I ate it and the kids looked at it like, that's disgusting. And I'm like, good. Nobody wants it. And I ate it up every morsel. And I just had a wonderful, wonderful afternoon. I couldn't have been happier.
This.
Also, because it was unexpected. There was no lead up to it, you know. And she said, like, listen, you don't have to show up because this is not about karma, about, you know, Kulop's dog going missing. Mm. And I said, great. I'm so glad you're willing to drop that case against me. And she said, absolutely not. If anything, we're gathering more and more evidence. And then you said you had some evidence you were going to reveal against me, which I feel just, you didn't say against me, actually.
I didn't say against you, Jessica. I didn't say against you. I just said I'm going to be releasing a statement.
Okay,
and presenting,
when?
I guess it's going to be a written statement to be presented on Bitch Sesh Live.
Okay. Well. Okay. We'll see what happens.
It's just evidence. And I'm not saying it's
Did
for
I give
or
you the
against.
Evidence?
It is actually been discussed on this podcast. So there's audio evidence.
People are screenshotting. And by that, I mean Casey and Danielle are screenshotting my texts without my knowledge. And they're calling it desperate attempts to get character witnesses. And then I didn't realize they've already got people on tape, like talking about this. And it's like, you know what?
again, no one's going to dim your light, Jess. And
guess what? I hired David as my lawyer represent me.
I heard. Now, deep divers, if you're just tuning in, please go back to last week's episode so you can really understand what Jessica's being accused of, what occurred, the crime that occurred, and how she fits in. And you can be the judge because she did talk about it on last week's episode.
If this creates a divide, if deep divers go against Bitch Sesh, like, that's okay with me.
Yeah.
You know, if this becomes like the French Revolution, like, okay, the haves and the have nots, you make your decision, you know, like, that's okay with me.
Right.
If I weaponize this, you know, I don't need crossover, quite frankly.
Okay.
Willing to die on that.
Well, I was so glad to hear that you and Casey spent that time together. I did meet Casey later on at the beach with the kids and Paul. And you're right. There's something about, and I'm starting to do more of this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to do more of this. I'm throwing out plans and see what
last minute.
And I want to alert any of my friends who are listening. If they get a text from me and it says, do you want to come have dinner with me and the kids in 15 minutes? Know that I don't expect a yes.
No.
I really
Why not?
But I like throwing it out. And just before we started, I thought, oh, there's a Clippers game on tonight. And Gus has a friend who loves the Clippers as much as he does. And I really like their parents. I'm going to throw it out there. And guess what? They're coming.
Exactly. Because you know
what?
The people who accept a last minute invite, they actually like you.
That's so true.
And they like you.
There's a charge to a last minute get together.
I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe our luck that David and Dan, you know, took the kids and allowed us to have that minute. I mean, God, it fueled me for the whole weekend.
Sure, you understand this. When you make a date in the future, you might, in the moment of making that plan, be excited, but who knows what happened during that week? And you certainly
understand
this.
And I really, really appreciate you factoring that in when you do your written statement.
Okay.
That I'd had a real week of it.
But when it's last minute, when you say yes to last minute and you throw out last minute, there's a excitement in the air.
Yeah.
Of like, I want to be here right now. I'm not here because I made a plan.
Right.
There's
no obligation
because there wasn't right now. Right. And the expectation was actually that this shouldn't work out, which makes this experience all the sweeter. So I am. And you know what? I feel like I haven't thrown out many last minute invites to you, but that's partly because of the distance between our. Right. So it's a little bit. But you know what? I'm not going to let that stop me.
Please don't. You know I'll get in the car. In fact, I think what I texted to Casey, I want out of this prison is what I said.
Because what I love to do, and this is what I'm going to start inviting you to as well, is I love to have people over for dinner with the kids. So like, I'd love to say to you, we're not doing school anymore over the summer. Do you and BB and Dan want to come out? We'll have dinner at 5. We'll throw on a movie. They can even take a bath here. We'll bring their PJs. We'll throw on a movie. And then you guys do the drive back a little bit later, so you're not in rush hour.
Is that something?
Okay.
Well, here's the thing. We don't in LA. I've been looking for the neighborhood, the what we grew up in, the running to the different houses. And the truth is in LA, just don't have that. We don't have it. And it's like, but we can have it. We just have to make the plans, you know,
or throw it out last minute.
Right. We can still have that kind of our kids growing up together and knowing each other. It just isn't going to be roll down the street. And that's okay. I wanted to talk about one thing that I've been preparing for in therapy, actually, which is on next Friday, I'm going for 3 weeks to New Hampshire to see my parents. But really, this is where I went every summer. It was my most blissful, blissful time of every single year. I looked forward to it. You know, it's where I had my first boyfriend. It's like just absolute kid heaven. There are, you never put on shoes from like the moment you arrive. It's hot pavement. It's rain on hot pavement. It's cold lake. It's laying on a hot tennis court to warm up your
wonderland.
Everything. Yeah. And there's no, you don't ever have to look or notice where your kids are because they're always safe. There's like, and everyone there is like Mr. and Mrs. Anderson, but they also happen to be like my uncle and aunt, but they're not. You know what I mean? I love a fake uncle and aunt. Love, 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 love.
See, Baby I never, calls I didn't everybody. Grow up with fake aunts and uncles. So
you did.
I love it too. No, I did not. I love it too, but it's not natural to me.
So BB will call you Aunt June.
And I,
that's
God,
how she
that's
knows
an honor. You. That's an honor, but it's not, I would feel, listen, I want, it's something I want to live into.
I know. I understand that. And Lennon too is a little like, I didn't do that. So she calls her Lala, which kind of sounds like a stripper's name, honestly, but it's what works.
I mean,
but
listen, I would say like Mrs. McShane, Mr. Shoring, like I never called an adult by a first name. And that's a whole other conversation I want to have with you at another time.
100%.
Okay. Because so I find it shocking when I hear Gus and Sam be like, hi, Michaela. Hi, Mike. To my friends. I'm like, excuse me.
It's very upsetting. Yeah. I know. But if you tell them to do that, they're going to be the only kids doing it.
I know.
You know? I and know. That's, so I struggle with that as well. But, you know, she calls Aunt Danielle, Aunt Casey. That's how I refer to everybody.
I love
and
that.
And also, like, Susie Nakamura is known as Aunt Susie. And by the way, if you want your kids to fucking behave, you get Susie Nakamura from Avenue 5 to fucking Aunt Susie. When you go to dinner with Aunt Susie, you behave. Because she will give you a look.
Thank
like,
you.
That's not appropriate.
I
put the phone down.
I
you know,
love it.
You can color, but you're going to contribute to conversation.
Correct.
Aunt Susie keeps it correct. But what I was saying is I'm returning back to this idyllic place. Now, the last time I did a 3-week stay was right after I had cancer. And I thought I was going to have this restful time, but I was having a nervous breakdown, but I didn't realize it. And I was super angry. And I told everybody I didn't need help, but I really did. And it was a terrible time. Terrible from start to finish. And I don't feel, I'm not in that place at all. But I also want to like get my head set that this, you can't recreate the childhood innocence. And there is something about visiting a place where you were so innocently happy that can be very sad.
Absolutely.
You know, and a friend of mine, one of my best friends, whose wife was going through breast cancer at the same time as me, she passed. And so that's really triggering. Now he's like doing the most amazing job. He has 3 children.
Oh my God.
But I mean, it's kind of like when you think of all of us as children and we didn't know what was coming. There's something about that where I go, wow, we didn't know how hard life is going to be.
And we were so lucky. I mean, I think both you and I had, you know, really beautiful childhoods. And that's so, we're so lucky to have had that.
Oh,
we're so lucky. I mean, I do feel like, yes, there was a healthy amount of dysfunction and there were concerns I had as a kid, but boy, did I have a good childhood. And
yeah.
And there is, you know, I think there is a lot of pain around, and people don't really talk about it that much, just like grieving that time, you know, and grieving who you were then, and then having to like integrate yourself as an adult, but it's different, you know, and it will never, and what then you want to provide for your child is different. And so like BB's going to have a different experience of her childhood than you had, you
and
know?
I need to let it be different, but I also like, I long for her to have maybe 3 weeks of what I used to have because it was magical. And this place also is trapped in time. Like it, the kids still do behave exactly the same. They get on their bikes at 9 a.m. They go down to the beach by themselves. I don't know about BB by herself at 7. You know, I'll probably be around. Mm-hmm. But all the moms sit in a circle. Then you have your bologna sandwich. Again, we're going to have an organic turkey, you know. Mm-hmm. But and you get your, you know, Orange Crush. Again, I'll probably make her drink sparkling water. But like, there are going to be some changes. But I do want to, I do want to like let it be different. And whatever because my hanging on to the past can be a real set myself up for real disappointment. I can get really disappointed.
I understand. I understand.
And I've never done it well. That's the other thing. I've never done this trip well. And I want to show myself that I can do it. So I didn't know if you had any tips or if the deep divers have any tips about how you can allow it to be different. Is it just like constantly centering yourself in the present moment? How do you do it? Please tell me you have an answer.
Of course I don't. I mean, the only thing I can say is I also, similar to you, feel I grew up in a wonderful place and I have beautiful, beautiful memories. And I felt so connected to my childhood home. I mean, I remember emailing you and the rest of the girls the day that my house was sold, when my sisters and I sold my parents' house. And it was another death. And just last night, it's funny you bring this up. Just last night, I was looking and I think I did this in part because of what we've talked about on the deep dive. I realized I didn't have many pictures of my mom up in the house.
Wow.
And I don't know why. It was like we moved into the house, frames weren't up yet, just like, you know, life. And yesterday I became obsessed with like, I have these two frames and I want two photos of my mom up in them. And And Paul's funny because he was like, and I was like, I need to do this. And he was like, let's go downstairs. There's a whole box full of frames, but we need to spend some time basically at a different time going through them. And I was like, oh, no, I must go there now during dinner time.
Get it.
And I must put them in frames within the hour. Like, there's totally no other time. This is... Again, we've talked
because
about it so much.
Because it won't get done.
And also, this is grief. This is grief. This is grieving. This is active. When I need to scratch that itch and start looking for my Lexus and start looking for this particular photo to put up, that's the work of grief. And it's not to be organized at a different day and time. So I went down and I found two photos and I put them up. While I was looking for it, I found a picture of my house. And it was the blizzard of 96 when I, on my sweet 16, when I had my cocktail party. there was a blizzard and someone took a photo of my house. And it was covered in snow, most beautiful photo. And I thought, should I put this photo up? And I decided not to because I've since... And this is where, Jessica, like, I don't know what to say to you because I've since had to, you know, I think I told this story. Like, I went into the house and it was.
By the way, I just want you to know I'm crying about an image I haven't seen about your house covered in snow.
Well, it's beautiful.
I feel like Dan needs to write a poem about it. Let's see if we can't commission something.
It was beautiful. It was years later, probably about 2 years ago, I went home around Thanksgiving and Paul and I took the kids to Radio City Music Hall. We took the train back to Long Island and I said, let's stop by my old house. Mm-hmm. And I had the kids in the car and he said, no, it's not a good idea. And I said, oh, I know that. Like, you don't think I know that? I know that. But again, it's got to be done. This is the work of grief. And sometimes I'm walking into a situation that will be painful. And we took the kids over. I went to my next door neighbor's house, Nancy and Eddie Schering. And I said, I'm going to go over. And they said, oh, okay. And our kids were playing at the Schering's house. And I walked over and I rang the doorbell, ding dong. No one answered. Now I see kids in the house. And they're not answering. And finally, the kids opened the door and I said, hi, is your mom and dad home? I used to live here. I grew up here. Mm-hmm. And they were so sweet. And I said, do you go to Watson Elementary? Because that's where I went. And they did. And then the dad came down and he said, oh, my wife's in the bathroom. And I said, is there any way I could walk through the house? Now... they changed every square inch of it.
I know.
And
what was really quite upsetting is this man who was actually, God, if he's listening, this is a nice person. So please know that.
Sure, of course.
This is a nice person.
You're showing up unannounced. If you showed up in my house, I'd be like, oh my God.
Yeah,
like,
and I've pretty much demanded to walk around. And I said, I just want you to know what a wonderful childhood me and my sisters had in this home. What wonderful memories, what loving parents we had. But what he wanted me to see was all that he had done to my house to make it, quote unquote, better.
Oh God.
And also wanted to sort of connect on how, like, my dad, who worked on my home for 20 years and was always in various states of construction, like how crazy the things were that my dad did. Not great.
Well, now and Paul's going, like, I told you this wouldn't go well.
And it didn't, you know, and I'm standing there listening to this and he's like, wow, the wiring your dad did in the attic. Well, I got to show it to you because we completely changed it. But he was really, and you know, the basement, nobody must have touched for years. And I go, yeah, well, my father couldn't walk up the stairs for the last 2 years of his life. So there were probably some things that were let go because he was incredibly ill and suffering.
Oh my God.
You know? So then, like, we had to sit in that.
Here. Okay. God, dude, you really, God bless this man. You really gave it to him and he wasn't expecting it.
I did, because I was just like, my dude,
well,
like,
that's not emotional intelligence either.
Thank you.
You know,
like,
that's
my
not.
Dude, I'm
it's just
trying
not.
To, I'm walking around here weeping and you are taking this opportunity to tell me, like, how fucked
yeah,
up.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah, I know. I don't know why I said he was a nice guy. He was daft.
No.
And I found it very strange that the wife never came out of the bathroom. Okay, I did. I found it very odd. She never came out of that bathroom. Now, I was there for 20 minutes. And I don't know.
She had explosive diarrhea. Couldn't get off the can.
I don't really know what was going on in there. But I was like, what I wanted from that experience was, like, look at me. Listen to me. I'm a person. This house that you're raising your family in, my energy is here. My parents' energy is here. And come be with it. And let me explain to you what this meant to me. And they really couldn't. She couldn't even come out of the bathroom from her diarrhea. So it was
from her liquid diarrhea.
Okay. Some her waterfalls coming out of her asshole. Okay.
But yeah.
So I say this to you, Jessica, because although
I'm
it was
crying.
Very
there are tears coming down my
face.
I can't do
it was very upsetting, but what I'm in some ways years later now I'm grateful for is I was forced and it was a violent goodbye, but I was forced in that moment to say, this is gone. This is gone. And I will not return to this home ever again. And because my memories of it are with me and I travel around with my childhood now. I travel around and I offer it to my kids and I create things with those memories, but there is zero attachment to the place and thing. And I was forced to let it go because it was so terrible that it's not a memorial. It's not a place where I feel those memories live. They're with me, which is great in a way. And that's what I guess
it
I would suggest
great.
To you, like your childhood, the beauty and magic and fun is you, that's always with you. You're a fun mom. Like to right. have you as a mom, you have that joy and fun and sense of like, let's go talk to a man with a parrot. That's right. connected to your childhood. And that's, that magic is always with you.
Right. And the other thing I think was, when I was there 3 years ago, like I was sad. What had been done to my life, I felt had left me worse for wear. And I mourned like losing that innocent self. You know, I mourned her because I liked her better. You know, I wanted to go back and you can't go back. And so I'm wondering if it'll be different now because I don't feel like who I am now is worse. I think it's better.
Oh, definitely.
But that took me a long time. I'm 6 years mm-hmm. from day of diagnosis, and I finally feel like I'm better, you know? And I think that's what's been so nice about this podcast is being our true selves has helped me to be that in all different areas of my life. It's like I've taken off my mask. And it's like, what will this childhood place be when I don't have a mask on? You know, when I'm just being all the different things, feeling the things, you know, am I starting to cry in like various ice cream places because I see a grandfather taking out $20 and saying, let me treat you. I haven't seen you in a year and a half. Like, am I starting to cry like in front of strangers? I am. And I'm really happy that I am able to just feel it in the moment. So I'd kind of like to just all feelings are welcome when I go back, as opposed to, I want to get back, go through the Narnia door. You know, you can't go back there. What's on the other side of that door is a half man, half horse. You don't want to be back in Narnia. Totally. That fucking place was a hellhole. They were being pursued, you know, by the White Witch. You got to get out of there.
And it's like, you know, I think that I would just say, whatever those feelings are that come up, let them be, you know, let them have a place.
If you shove them down, you just end up being a nasty bitch. That's for sure. Yeah.
And it is so hard to know what it's going to feel like. I mean, and I say this that I have let a lot go that's attached to my house. I was happy to see that photo, but I was also like, ultimately, it's what my parents were able to give us in the house and the joy and the lessons and the pain. And there was a lot that went on in there, but it was so full, you know.
Yeah.
That exists outside of the place too. It's not.
Yeah, no one can take it away from you because it lives inside of you. And that's exactly, and I know we have to wrap up because I think we have to get on a pre-interview with the Today Show and I have tears streaming down my face. But I will just say that I had dinner last night with Lila, my surrogate mom who passed, daughter. And I said to her, and I actually kind of regret it because this doesn't really help because she's in the active stage of grief. And she said, I just wish I could, you know, there's so many things that we would go to Lila for advice. She gave great advice. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, fuck, you know, like I could use her take on this, you know? But I said to her, I said, you know, the truth is like, when somebody passes and they get incorporated into you and you trust the fact that you can communicate with them from beyond, that's a tall order, okay? I mean, we've been working at this witch work for a really long time at this point, you know, and I've really given in. I've given in that I can talk to them like I'm on the phone. They're inside of you and you know what they'd say. So that conversation can continue.
Yes.
You know, it's inside of you. They are inside of you.
Yes.
And it's almost like I'm less, I talk to my dead best friend more now than we did when she was alive.
Yeah.
Because she's my ride along, you know?
I love that. But
then Molly said, but you know what? I want to see her in person. I said, and I think I'm shoving some, I'm not going to call it toxic positivity. It's like toxic talking to dead people. Like, you know, of course it's better if they're alive, you know? And so, I wish I didn't have cancer. I wish I could be a little more innocent, you know, in the way some people are, the younger souls amongst us who haven't dealt with serious shit. I mean, yeah, they can like tuck into a Netflix and not like weep at a, you know, at an ice cream store. I mean, and God bless. They probably are happier in some ways, minute to minute.
I don't know either.
But anyway, I don't know what I'm talking about really, except to say they're inside of us. Your old self is inside of you.
Yes.
You're pretty great where you are and you wouldn't be who you are if it weren't for all the hard stuff. So, you know.
That's right. And there we go again. What a ride.
I didn't
time I'm like, this. I know. And every time I'm like, oh, this is and good. This is easy breezy. You know, really talking was. Parrots, like then it we take a turn. But you know what? It is.
And you said, you know what? I'll blame this one on you because when you said the image of a house covered in snow, I'm looking exactly at that house. You know, I'm looking at that house and I am there, you know, I'm totally there. I have an image of what your house looks like in the way that when you used to read books as a child, you would picture a lot of them in a certain house. I have an exact image of your house. I want you to show me what your house looked like.
I will. I will text you the picture that I was looking at last night. It was quite beautiful.
We got 1 minute to dry up the old tears.
The last thing I'll say is, and I know we have to get on our interview for the pre-interview for the Today Show, but the last thing I'll say is, you know, it's interesting. When we cleared out my parents' house, there was still a lot of stuff at the end. And you know what? I got to save this for another day. This is too much.
I'm going to remind you to pick it up.
Say this quickly, that a lot of things were donated. We took what we wanted. But at the end of the day, there were still large, substantial, you know, people accumulate stuff over a lifetime. And we literally had to call a company called 1-800-JUNK to pick up the rest of it and to have your parents like sort of life picked up by a car.
A van
that says 1-800-JUNK was both devastating. And I really was like, I cried hysterically and. What a reminder that at the end of the day, stuff is 1-800-JUNK.
Holy shit.
Okay?
Yeah, Marie Kondo knows that, baby. She knows
1-800-fucking-JUNK. It ain't the stuff. You know what I mean?
We gotta go out on that.
I was both devastated and I was also like, thank you, Mom and Dad. What a fucking lesson. At the end of the day, it's 1-800-JUNK. Okay, so let's
I need to cut, and that's a season wrap on me. Okay. Okay, I just can't.
Jessica St. Clair is a season wrap.
Carl Horpower. Okay. Deep divers, we love you.
Lemon person. See you next week.
Bye guys.
The Deep Dive is produced by Jessica St. Clair, June Diane Raphael, and Earwolf. Our producer is Cody Fisher and sound engineer Jordan Duffy. You can listen to our ad-free and bonus episodes on Stitcher Premium. And for a free 1 month trial of Stitcher, use code DEEPDIVE. And remember, the best way to support this show is to rate and review.
And a huge thank you to Ann Geddes for her beautiful photo that she allowed us to use for our cover art. Please head over to AnnGeddesBaby.com and download her new app, which is a safe place you can upload and store all of your precious images of your children and share them with friends and family, plus much more.
We'll see you next time.